Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Kuf Zayin. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Eugenia Ferdman Gittel Bas Zechai Yitzvi. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. We begin today's share two lines in the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, where we quote the Mishnah where it says Misha Holach Abdina Sayam. We get back to the discussion of our Mishnah that says that if a man went overseas and his wife was left without support, so she was allowed to go and ask the estate for support. So we quote Misha Holach Abdina Sayam. So we say about that Itmar. We learned in the Beis Medrash the following machlokes between Rav Shmuel. Rav Amar returned to Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, that we are poskin mizonos li'eshes ish, that we do in fact give her mizonos in this situation. As the top Rashi says, based in Yordan, l'nechsei, misha halach medina sayam, based has the right to go into the property of the person that went to the medina sayam, u poskin mizonos lishto, and they go and take from the estate, and they go and give mizonos to the wife. Shmuel disagrees. U Shmuel amar, ein poskin mizonos li'eshes ish, that we do not in fact allow the woman to collect mizonos in this situation. The Gemara will explain why in a moment. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Modeli Abba. Abba, which is the term that Shmuel referred to Rav, Rashi elsewhere tells us, you look at the Masoras Hashas in Osalaf, he tells you, look at Rashi in Brachos, Mem Zayin, and Rashi over there tells us that Shmuel Hayakori L'Rav Abba L'Chvodo. That one of the first explanations why Shmuel called Rav Abba was a sign of respect. He called him father. In other words, you are the father of all the Amorim. Alternatively, Rav Kacha Yoshmo. Alternatively, Rav's name was Abba. He was known as Rav because he was like Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So in Bavel, they called him Rav. He was the Rav. As like Lahavda, we call Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik the Rav. Right? There are many Rabbanim that are the Rav, but he is known as the Rav. So too, Rav in Bavel was known as Rav, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in Eretz Yisrael is known as Rabbeinu. Rebbe. So in any event, it says that Rav's name was Abba, and Shmuel, who was his colleague, called him by his first name. And in Shechita Chulin, Rashi always refers to the Gemara Chulin, not as Chulin, pasnish to call a Gemara Chulin, so he always calls it Shechita Chulin. So Rav is referred to as Abba Aricha. Tamrinan, Mon Reish Sidra Bebavel, who is the head of the yeshiva in Bavel, Abba Aricha, it says over there. And therefore, in other places as well, in Nida, he's called Rav Oruch Bidorohaya. He was the long one in his generation. In other words, he was the Gadol HaDor. So he was known by the name Abba for various reasons. In any event, Shmuel said that Abba, Rav, agrees with me, Bishlosha Chadoshim Harishonim. In the first 3 months after a woman's husband goes off on this business trip, he goes off to the Medina Sayam, so Shmuel says that Rav agrees with him that she's not entitled to the mizonos during that period of time, in the 3 months. Why? Nobody would leave his wife empty-handed like that. Now, this is assuming, of course, that they had a normal marriage relationship. If it was known that they didn't have a normal marriage relationship, so then it's very possible that the husband's a shtunk, and he does leave his wife, empty-handed. He leaves her with nothing to support herself. So in that situation, it would be a different din. But assuming that they were under normal relationship, they were happy together, the first 3 months, mistama, he left her with food, and it's just, he's wasn't expecting to be away so long, so that's where the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel occurs, only after the first 3 months. Now the Gemara says, Bishishamu bo shemeis, if we heard that Nebuch, the husband, passed away while he was in Medina Sayam, so then Shmuel also agrees with Rav that she gets mizonos. Kuli amalo plige, that she gets mizonos in that situation, and she's allowed to collect the ksuba. Key plegi, where's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, Bishalo shamu bo shemeis, after the first 3 months, and we haven't heard that he had died. So in that situation, that's where Rav says, Rav Amar Poskin, why? Dom Mishubad law, because the husband is obligated to support the wife. That's part of the Tanai Ksuba, that the husband will support the wife. And therefore, if he went away, and we have no evidence that he left her money, or she has independent means to go and support herself, so then the Beis Din has the right to go into the estate of the husband, and to go and collect from him for the wife's mizonos. However, Shmuel Amar ain't poskin. Shmuel says, no, we don't go and do this. Why not? So there's two possible explanations. My time, what's the reason behind this? Rav Zvid first gives us the reason. Rav Zvid Amar, remember that this is Rav Zvid, because at the end of the shiur today, we're going to have another statement from Rav Zvid, and it's going to have no tie-in, so some suggest that the tie-in is from over here, that since we had a member from Rav Zvid on the Omid Aleph, so we mention another member from Rav Zvid on the Omid Beis. That's a simple tie-in that we're going to have later on in the Gemara. In any event, Rav Zvid Amar, Emot Sorry, it besaw. In fact, maybe what happened over here is that the husband gave her tsrori. Tsrori is bundles. So he actually gave her money to go and support herself. And she's now telling us something that's not true. Oh, my husband didn't leave me any money. So Shmuel says we have to be concerned, according to the opinion of Rav Zvid, understanding Shmuel, that we have to be concerned that the husband in fact gave her money and she's just not telling us that she has that money. Alternatively, Rav Papa Mar Chayshinan, there's the concern that maybe Shema Omar Lo, that the husband said to her, listen, Tzi Mai Se Yodayich Bimzon Osayach, go and take your support from your own handiwork. Now, normally, as we'll see later on in the Shia, the Tanaya the Ksuba says that since the husband has to support the wife, she's entitled to her handiwork. But if it's beneficial to the wife, so we see later on in today's Shia, we had this many times previously, that Rav Paskins and the Halacha is like Rav, that the woman can say to the husband, listen, thank you very much, I don't need your $50 a day support, I make $500 an hour, so therefore, I'll take my money, my handiwork, my salary, and you keep your support. So since she has the right to say that if she wishes to, so maybe in this situation, as Rashi and Tosfos both point out of here, she agreed that the husband said, listen, I'm going away on a business trip. Would you like me to support you? Or would you like to support yourself from your own salary? So, v'kibla alei, she accepted this. So therefore, Rav Papa says, the reason why she's not getting mizonos over here is because she's not entitled to mizonos. So that's what Shmuel says. Is there an afkamina between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa? Rav Zvid saying, sorry, it's bizar. Or Rav Papa saying that maybe tzi masi adayach b'mizonosayach, that they had an agreement that she would support herself. So there are two possible nafkaminas. My benayu, the nafkaminas are as follows. Ika benayu, gedola v'lo sofka. She was an adult woman. She was a gedola, and she had no independent means of support. So she wasn't able to support herself. So it's possible, sorry, the husband trusted her because she was an adult woman, and she would be able to hold on to the money and not lose it, but she had no independent means of support. So according to the first understanding, the Eimatsrari Itpasa, so that would be a concern. But according to the understanding of Rapopat, Si Masi Adach Mzanasayat, she had no way of making support, so that wouldn't apply. So that would be one nafkamina. Nafkamina number two, Inami, she was a katana, she's a young girl, so therefore the husband would not give her money to support herself because the chances of him giving sorry to a young girl who would easily lose it or spend it on candy or toys, so that wouldn't be a good thing to do. However, the Safkut, maybe she has a good job. She is very, very good at accounting, so she has a high-paying job. And therefore, even though she may not be somebody that you deposit money with to go and give her money, accounting probably is the wrong profession for me to say that, but let's say she's a very good babysitter, so she makes a lot of money babysitting. So in this situation, you wouldn't give her money, but she could go and support herself. So these would be the two nafkaminas. In any event, we're going to spend most of the rest of the Shia today, the Omer Aleph, and most of the Omer Beis, trying to disprove Shmuel. Shmuel says that the husband estate, we don't go into the husband's estate. Beis Din doesn't go into the husband's estate to support the wife in this situation. So we start off by bringing a raya from our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our very Mishnah that it said, Mishalach l'mdina sayam, the man goes off on the business trip to overseas, v'yishto tovas mizonos, and the wife says she wants support. So we had a machlokas there between Hanan and the Chachamim, the B'nei Kohanim Gedolim. So Hanan has opinion that says, Hanan Omer Tishova Basov, that she also has, just has to make a shua at the end. She doesn't make a shua when she collects the mizonos. She doesn't make a shua when she collects the ksuba, that she wasn't given tsrari, that she didn't take the ksuba, that she hadn't gotten money from her husband. V'losh Tishova B'tchila, but she doesn't have to make a shua at the beginning. However, Nechlu Kolav B'nei Kohanim Gedolim, Yomru, the B'nei Kohanim Gedolim disagreed, the Chachamim disagreed with Hanan, and they said, no, she has to make a shua Tishova Betchila when she collects her bezonos, as well as herself when she collects her ksuba. Now, here's the question on Shmuel. Ad kan lo pligei lelin shvua. It seems the only machlokes between Hanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim is does she or does she not have to make a shvua? However, everybody agrees that she gets bezonos. So kasha on Shmuel. This goes exactly like Rav. So the Gemara says, Tirguma Shmuel b'shishamo shabo shemei. So Shmuel says, no, this is not a kasha against me. And we'll see this answer a couple of times. Shmuel said that they thought that the husband had died. So when the husband died, that's the case that our Mishnah is talking about. And therefore, everybody agrees that if the husband died, so then she's entitled to mezonos. The only question is she entitled to mezonos with or without a shvua? So Hanan says without a shvua, she only makes a shvua when she collects a ksuba. And the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, they hold no, she has to make a shvua even to collect mezonos, but we're assuming here the husband is dead, but not that he's just on a business trip. So therefore, Shmuel says, there's no kasha me. I say on a business trip, we have to be concerned with either Rav Zvid that they had tsrari, that she had been given some money to support herself, or that she had made an agreement with her husband that she would support herself and he wouldn't get her salary. So Shmuel says, there's no problem for me from our Mishnah. Try again. Toshma. Mi shahalach l'mdina sayam. If a person went off again on the business trip, here's a brisa, which sounds a lot like our Mishnah, but it's a little bit more expansive, that seems to contradict what Shmuel just said. V'ish no tovas mezonos. So the wife says, listen, I need mezonos. So b'nei kohanim gedolim omrim, the b'nei kohanim gedolim say tishava. She has to make a shvua before she collects the mezonos, and chanan omar lo tishava. Exactly like our Mishnah, except the order is reversed. First we have the opinion that b'nei kohanim gedolim says she has to make a shvua to go collect mezonos, and chanan says she doesn't have to make a shvua to go collect mezonos. The imbar the omar. But now it says, if the husband comes back and he tells us, posakti lo mezonos, I gave him mezonos, so then Nemon, the husband is believed, Rashi says, with a shvua. In Dibra Maskul Nemon, he says, ubishvua, umechazeris, mashenos, lo basin, and basin will go and take back from her that money that they gave to his wife, because he had given her tsrari, he had given her money for the mezonos. So what do you clearly see from this brisa? That the husband gave her tsrari. So how can you tell me that the husband's dead? So he's Nemon to be believed in this situation, so Kash and Shmuel. So no, Shmuel would answer, Hachanami, Bishashamu bo shemes. They thought that the husband had died. Ah, it says, Vaha, in Bali Amar Kamar, but the husband came back, so why do they think the husband died? No, the answer is, in Bali Acha Shmua, that they first had a Shmua, and that's when they gave her the mezonos according to Hanan without a Shvua, and according to the B'nei Kohanim Gedolim with the Shvua, but now that he comes back, so we now are only dealing with that situation where they thought the husband was dead. There's no machlokes. Shmuel agrees. If they thought the husband was dead, then she's entitled to mezonos. The only question is, with or without a shvua. But if the husband wasn't dead, there was no suspicion that the husband was dead, so then there is no giving of mezonos. Shmuel says, my shita is still okay. Try again. Toshma, another brisa. Mishallah l'mdina sayam. If somebody went to the b'nei sayam, yishto tovas mezonos. And his wife says, no, I need mezonos. My husband's off on a business trip, and I need mezonos. Now, we have the girsa of vi'im, but if you look in the Masoras Hashas, Oz Gimel, the proper girsa should be im, not vi'im. So, im bovi omar, if the husband comes and he tells us, listen, I had a deal with my wife, see masi yadayach b'nun asayach. I had said to her, go and support yourself. I won't take your salary, but you go support yourself, and I don't have to give you any money with mezonos. So, see masi yadayach b'nun asayach, if he had said that deal was made, so then Rashai, he's allowed to do this, and in fact, she's not allowed to get mezonos, and if they got mezonos, so then Kodmu, Beis Din, Upasku, if before this happened, Beis Din had given her mezonos, Masha Pasku Pasku, okay, that which they gave her, however, what do you clearly see over here, that she does have a right to get mezonos, so it's only in a situation where the husband comes back and says, see, Masi Yadayach b'mezonos sayach, that she wouldn't be entitled to mezonos, but everything before then, she was entitled to get mezonos, so again, Shmuel says the same exact teretz, Hachanami, Bishasham Ubo Shemes. The only reason why they gave him mezonos was because they thought that the husband had died. But again, if the husband wasn't dead, they had no knowledge or independent thought that the husband was dead, so then the woman would not be entitled to get mezonos. Shmuel is okay with the Shita. None of these brises or the Mishnah go against him. Try again. Toshma. Misha Allah bin Nasayam. Again, somebody went on a business trip overseas. V'ish do tovas mezonos, and his wife needs mezonos. She needs something to be supported. So what's the din? Based in Yordam al-Khasa. So Basin has the right to go into the estate of the guy that went overseas, the Zonin, and they provided with food, and mafinasin, and they provided, as we said previously, with various types of clothing and pillows and covers, etc. Mafinasin lishto, they do this. However, they only do this for the wife. Avalola banav uvinosav. They don't do this for his children, for his sons and his daughters. And likewise, they don't supply dover acher, below dover acher, which we'll explain in a moment, either means tachshitin, means certain types of adornments to the wife, or to give a head tax of tztaka that they had on everybody in the community, so she's exempt from that. So they don't go into his estate to go and take that from her, below dover acher. Again, we'll have this discussion in a moment. We had this previously in Avamos. We'll have it again in a moment. So what do you clearly see? That she does get mezonos, the wife does get mezonos, Kasha and Shmuel. So I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, no. In this situation, it's a unique situation. B'mashres ishto yidei sholish. He had a third party go supply his wife with mezonos, but then the third party finked out, and the third party didn't supply her. So that's why she has a right to come. So obviously, if there was a third party, there was no tsrari, because everybody knew that there was a third party, so there definitely aren't any tsrari in this situation. And likewise, since it was a third party, obviously it wasn't si ma'isi yadeach b'mezonosayach. So obviously there was no such arrangement. So that's why Shmuel says, in this situation, when there's a third party that's supposed to have supported her, and the third party thinks out and didn't support her, so Shmuel says, I also agree she gets mezonos in that situation. So the Gemara asks, in that situation, ihochi banav uvnosav nami. So then how come the sons and the daughters aren't supported as well? It's very strange to say that They only made this deal for the third party to go support the wife, but not his sons and his daughters. The Gemara says, yeah, and that's taka what happened. Kishul Azu, they only supported the wife below Hishul Azu, but they didn't support the children. Gemara says, my Pascha, why would you make such a fine scalpel-like incision over here and say, yeah, for the wife, yes, but not for the children. It doesn't make any sense, so we reject that, and we give a different teretz. Alamu Rapapa, Rapapa says, Kishishoma bo shemeis bi'ed echot. What happened over here was that they heard that the husband, Nebuch, had passed away, and it was only with one witness. Now, with one witness, as we learned many times in Yevamos, the wife is allowed to go and get married. We assume that she'll daiko mitzvah, she'll go check it out, she'll only get married if she's convinced that her husband has died, because of all the terrible consequences that would happen if her husband was still alive and she got married to somebody else, both for that marriage as well as for the children that would be mamzerim. So the wife in this situation had one witness that said that her husband had died. So in that situation, since if she wanted to, she could go married based upon this one witness. So therefore, motzi minsevo, she would be allowed to go get married. So therefore, mazoni nami yavinalo. So we give her mazonas because this is basically a widow who's living in her husband's house, her dead husband's house. So she's entitled to mazonas. So therefore, even Shmuel would agree in that situation, she gets mazonos. However, banavu b'nosav, this is a financial matter. This is not a tenai of the ksuba. If the children said, okay, our father is dead, Nebuch, we have one witness that says so, they can't inherit their father. The Beis Din will say, no, you need two kosher witnesses to say that they know for a fact that the father is dead in order for the children to inherit. So in this situation, there is not going to be any ability for the children to inherit, and therefore they don't get mizonos. Lo matzu nachse, and mizoni nami lo yavinula, and they don't get mizonos. So that's why there's a difference in this situation, according to Shmuel, between the wife and the children. But again, his basic claim that if the husband just goes off on a business trip, so the basin won't go into his properties and go and support the wife. Now the Gemara digresses and tells us what was this Dover Acher that we just spoke about in the Braisa. My Dover Acher. So I already told you, Rav Chisda Amar Tachshit and Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah. Rav Chisda says it means various types of Tachshitim. Elsewhere, on Daf Memches, early in the Masechta, Rashi said this means besomim, various types of spices that the peddlers would sell, and the women would adorn themselves with these types of spices to make themselves attractive to their husbands, and that they shouldn't be manuvelous, they shouldn't be looking lousy. And Rav Yossi says, no, this was a head tax of tzedakah. The community would assign a certain level of tzedakah support to all the people in the community. So if her husband's not there, so the Beis Din wouldn't go, according to Rav Yosef, and go and take from his estate for the head tax for the tzedakah that's assigned to her. Now, Mor says, Man di Omer Tachshit, according to the opinion of Rav Chisda, says that it's talking about we don't even give her adornments, so certainly Kol Shekein, and we turn to Kuf Zayin Omer Beis, in this situation we wouldn't give her tzedakah. So it wouldn't be her responsibility. She wouldn't have to deal with the tzedakah contribution that would be expected from her family when her husband is away. Now, if you say that the husband doesn't even give her own adornments, so then certainly he doesn't give tzedakah. However, according to the opinion of Yosef, that says that we only don't give it tzedakah, but maybe you could say in this situation, the adornment money, we would in fact give it to her because the lo nichale did this novel, because nobody wants the wife to look disgusting. And if she doesn't have these adornments, so people are going to talk about his wife saying she doesn't look good. So therefore, maybe even though he didn't assign her to get tzedakah, that the money for the head tax for tzedakah for every family, so that the Beis Din wouldn't go into his estate and go and pay for that, but the adornments, according to this opinion of Yosef, maybe that she would be entitled to. Try again to disprove Shmuel. Toshma, we have the following brisa. Hayivama, a woman Nebuch who lost her husband and they died childless, so she now falls to Yibam, to her husband's brother, her brother-in-law. So in this situation, Hayivama, Shlosha Chadashim Rishonim, the first three months after the husband, Nebuch, passed away, so she's not allowed to get married, not allowed to have Yibam during those first 3 months because maybe she's actually pregnant from her first husband, and then Yibam would be usher. So in this situation, the first 3 months, when her husband, so to say, is preventing her from getting married, so then she's still attached to her husband, so Nizones Michelle Bala. So then she's supported from the first husband's estate, from her husband's estate. However, after 3 months, now the Yavam, she's no longer attached to her husband, so she's not entitled to support from the estate because there's the Yavam that's supposed to give her support. But Mikan Ve'elach, Einon Nizenes, Lo Mishal Balav, Lo Mishal Yavim. The Yavim himself only has to give her support if he marries her. So she's in a limbo state over here. She can go to Beis Din and say, force this guy to either do Yibam with me or to do Chalitza. But right now, she doesn't get Mizonos from either the estate of her husband or from the Yavim during this period of time after 3 months. Now, she's going to go take him to Beis Din, and Beis Din's going to force him to go either support her, do Yibam, or they'll force him to support her, even if he doesn't want to do Yibam, if he doesn't want to do Chalitza. So that's what happens over here. He didn't do Yibam, and he's paskin by base, then he has to go and give him money for support. But this guy runs away. He's a terrible guy. Amad Bedin Ubarach. He leaves, and he runs away. So some suggest that he ran away for a good reason. Others say he just ran away. He didn't want to go and make a Yibam with Chalitza over here. In any event, in this situation, Nizon asked Michel Yavim. So Bezdin will go into the estate of the Yavim now and make him support her, because that's what the Psak Din was. So what do you see clearly over here? That if the husband is not there, i.e. in this situation, the Yavim's not there, we do in fact force the estate to go pay for the mizonis for the wife, in this situation, the Yavama, and that's a kasha and Shmuel. So Shmuel says that, what's that a kasha and me? This is not the husband, this is a Yavam. And the Yavam has different situations. We don't have Rav Zvid's concern, we don't have Rav Papa's concern. We don't have Rav Zvid's concern about Shari, we don't have Rav Papa's concern about her salary going to pay for her mizonos. Why is that? So Amar Lach Shmuel. Shmuel says, "L'may nechel shlo lahai." What should we be concerned about with this woman at this point in time? Imi shum tzrabi. Are we concerned that really the Yavam, he ran away over here, but he actually gave her a pocket money to go take care of herself? That's ridiculous. Lo mikrava dayti legaba. We're not concerned that he gave her money over here. So therefore, this is different than the husband who loved her and maybe gave her money, and now she's denying it. There's no way the Yavam gave her money. He ran away. And imi shum ma'isi da'ai. He made a deal with her and said, "Oh, I won't take your ma'isi or dime, and I don't have to give you the mizonos." He's not entitled to her. The Ma'isi Yadayim aren't his to go and say that I won't take them from you and you support yourself. So Shmuel says in this situation with the Yavam, that's not a regular case as with a husband, and therefore you can't bring me a raya against what I said is the Shita, that if the husband goes away on a business trip and we don't hear that he died, and there is no other explanation as to why he shouldn't get the mizonos, so then the wife's not entitled to get mizonos. Try again. Toshma. Following Brysa. Here, the woman and her husband go on the business trip overseas. They go on a vacation, maybe. And she returns alone. And she says, Nebuch, Meis Bali, my husband died. So she's believed in this situation to actually go get married. She's believed to collect her ksuba, because there's no reason to think that this woman would lie, because the consequences are so great if she, in fact, were to lie. Now, in this situation, when she says Meis Bali Ratzta Nizonos, if she wishes to, she can be like a regular mon and collect mizonos, or if she wishes to, she can collect ksuba. Ratzta go ksubasa. If, however, she says Gershani Bali, her husband divorced her, he's still alive, but the husband divorced her, that's what she says. So then, maybe he didn't, and therefore she wouldn't be entitled to collecting more than a ksuba, but maybe he did divorce, and then she's only entitled to collect a ksuba. So in this situation, she's only allowed to collect mizonos up to the value of the ksuba. Misparnesses voleches ad kidei subasa. She can only collect her ksuba, the value of her ksuba is worth the mizonos, but she can't collect more than that, because if she really is right that he divorced her, she's only entitled to a ksuba, she's not entitled to a penny more from the estate. But what do you see over here? That here, her husband's off on a business trip, and you see that she does get mizonos, cash again on Shmuel. Again, Shmuel says over here, hochanami, kishishomu boshemes, because there is evidence. There are people that say that her husband died. So again, this is not a regular case where the husband's alive. Where it says, so why then, umayishno ad kedek subasa? If the husband is dead, so why should this woman who claims that she was divorced, if we found out that the husband died, or there's a rumor that the husband had died, why can she collect mizonos as an amana? And she doesn't want to take her ksuba, she doesn't have to. She can collect much more than her ksuba. So where it says, no, because in this situation, because over here, she caused herself this loss. She says, my husband divorced me. So she's, so to say, she's made this a chaticha shalisura. She's basically saying that I am a divorced woman, and therefore I'm not entitled to go and collect mizonos. I'm only entitled to collect my kesuba. So therefore, again, Shmuel says this is an exception to the rule. But my rule is that normally, if the husband goes on a business trip, the wife's not entitled to collect mizonos. Try again. Toshma keitzar amru mimamanes ein lo mizonos. In what circumstances do we say that a woman who's married midirabbanon and she just wants to leave the marriage with miyun, she's allowed to do so? In what situation do we say she doesn't get mizonos? If we're talking about iato yochol lo mar biyosheves tachas bala, it can't be that she's still living with her husband, because then sharei bala chayiv mizonos. Then the husband would in fact be chayiv to give him mizonos. Ela what woman is talking about? Ela gon shalach bala medina sayam. We're talking that the husband went off to medina sayam, and what did she do? Lovsa, she went and borrowed money. She ate with that money, and then she said, that's it, he's not coming back, I'm getting up and getting out of here. Amda umyena. She stood up and she did miyun. So what do we see? Only in this situation is she ain lo mizonos, implying, however, that tamo de miyun, it's only because she was miyun. Miyun uproots the marriage retroactively, and therefore she wasn't entitled to any mizonos l'chatchila. But the implication is, halo miyana,
Yavina law. If she didn't do miyun, then this would be a classic case of a married woman, albeit midrabbanan, but a married woman whose husband went off l'medinas hayam, and she's entitled to mizonos. Kasha on Shmuel. So again, Shmuel says, no problem. Shmuel will say, again, here, there is no concern of either Rav Zvid or Rav Papa. Rav Zvid's concerned that maybe the husband gave her money, so there's a marriage of a ketana. So therefore, tsrari l'ketana lo matvis. There's no way the husband gave her money, because she's going to spend it on toys, spend it on candy, and she won't support herself. So that's not a concern. You can tell me, her salary will pay for her, and therefore the husband said, I don't have to give you mizonos, you'll make your own money. Ketana, lo safka, under most normal circumstances, an 8-year-old girl, 10-year-old girl, can't support herself. So therefore, Shmuel says this is an exception to the rule. No, we tried and tried and tried, we didn't slug up Shmuel. How do we paskin? Ma yavi aloha? What's the aloha? So we have two stories, they're almost similar to each other, with one slight difference between the two versions of the story. First one is, Kiyasa Redimi, when Redimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he reported back and he said, Kiyasa Redimi, Omar, Ma'isib, Balifnei, Rebbe, Bevei Sharbim, the following case came to adjudicate in front of Rebbe when he was in Beis Sharm, right? We just had the other day that Rebbe lived in Beis Sharm, and Nebuch, when he got sick, he went to Tzipori, but he lived in Beis Sharm, so that's where his Beis Medrash was, so that's where his court was, and he adjudicated the following din in Beis Sharm. This came to him, a woman came to him and said, her husband went off in the Medina Sayam, and she needed mizonos, so uposek lo mizonos, so Rebbe paskin, like Rav, that she gets mizonos. But then, somehow, either another case, or this case went to, I'm not sure what the circumstances are, lifnei Rebbe Shmuel b'Tzipori, then the following similar case went to Rabbi Shmuel and Tzipori, and lo pasak l'mizonos. He didn't give the woman mizonos like Shmuel. So, Toibar Rav Yochanan, when Yochanan heard about this, he was very surprised, he was amazed. He wondered what Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning was. Why shouldn't this girl get mizonos? Her husband went away, didn't leave her mizonos, the husband was going to give her mizonos, so why don't we give her mizonos? So, holo nechlaku b'nei kohan gedol m'chanon, elol inyin shvua. And he used our Mishnah, which said that the only time that there's a machlokes as to whether she gets a mizonos or not is only whether she makes a shvua or not. Chanan says she doesn't have to make a shvua. The Bnei Kohanim Gadolim say you do have to make a shvua, but everybody agrees, like Rav, that she does in fact have to get, she does in fact is entitled to mizonos. Nobody says like shvua. And therefore, the Gemara says, Avu mizoni, yavinala. Everybody says you get mizonos, like Rav, Kasha, and Shmuel. So that's what Rav Yochanan said. And Amulei Rav Shemen Bar Abba, Rav Shemen Bar Abba said to him, oh no, Kfar Tirgabar Rabbeinu Shmuel Bababa. Oh, this is Shmuel. He's called here as Rabbeinu Shmuel. So this is the great Shmuel who said in Babel that we're dealing here in our Mishnah only Kishishamu Bo Shemes. We're only dealing here where they thought that he had died. They heard a rumor that he died. And only then Shmuel agrees, as we've said many times, in that situation, he agrees that if she's an Amana, she gets Mizonos. Rav Yochanan was amazed at this. He says, Amalei, really? Pasrisu bar kulei hai? Really? They're making our Mishnah only talking about the narrow case of Kishishamu Bo Shemes and not the standard way like we had understood it previously, that it's a husband went off on a business trip? So Rav Yochanan is amazed at this answer of Shmuel. Alternatively, this was that Rebbe had paskin like Rav and Rabbi Shmuel had paskin like Shmuel. Here we have a slightly different version, Kiyosu Ravin. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said the version was the exact opposite. Maisa bolipnei Rebbe bevei Sharm. The woman came, whose husband went off on a business trip to the Medina Sayam, and she came to Rebbe's Beis Din in Beis Sharm. The low pasak lamazonas here, Rebbe was the one that passing like Shmuel. And then the, either another case or a similar case went, lifnei Rebbe Yishmuel b'sipari, and here Rebbe Yishmuel was the one pasak lamazonas like Rav. And Rabbi Yochanan heard that Rebbe had paskin not to give her mizonos, he was amazed. Amar Yochanan, my raw Rebbe shlo pasakla. Why did Rebbe not give this poor lady mizonos? Why? Again, the whole alo nechleku, chanan ubnei kohanim gedolim, elo liyinin shavua, avu mizonos yavinala. Again, our Mishnah seemed to say that everybody agrees, well, chanan and bnei kohanim gedolim agree that she's entitled to mizonos. Only question is, chanan says she doesn't have to make a shavua, and bnei kohanim gedolim says she does have to make a shavua, but she's entitled to mizonos like Rav, not like Shmuel. Why did Rebbe paskin like Shmuel? So again, in this version of the story, Rav Shemin tells Rav Yochanan, Amalei Rav Shemin, Rav Abba, to Rav Yochanan, he says, Kfar Tirgama, Shmuel B'Vavel. Here he doesn't call him Rabbeinu Shmuel, I don't know why, but in this version it just says that Shmuel, again, the great Shmuel in Babel at Paskin, that this Mishnah, our Mishnah, is talking about only Kishamabo B'Shemes. Well, we're dealing here that the rumor had it that the husband had died. But if the husband didn't die, that's not what our Mishnah is talking about. And again, Rav Yochanan is perplexed. Amalei, Pasrisu Bakuli. Hi, really? Our Mishnah is talking about such a narrow case only where the husband died, or they thought that the husband had died? Doesn't make any sense. No, we have these two versions. How do we finally Paskin? The Hilchasa, Kavase de Rav. We Paskin over here like Rav, not surprised. We had so many kashas on Shmuel Shita which had to be answered in very, very specific ways. Everyone is an exception to the rule, so certainly it certainly flows a lot more like Rav. And the din is uposkim mizonos la'ishasish. And if a woman's husband goes off to meet his dayam, and we have no evidence that he gave it to her, we have no evidence that they made a deal that ma'asi yadayim will take the place of the mizonos that I'm supposed to give to you, then the basin will go to his estate and support the woman. That's psak number one that we have over here. By the way, we have a related psak, which we mentioned actually early in the shir, Bilsa Chavasi the Rav Huna Amar Rav, and the halach is like what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, which I mentioned earlier, the Omer Rav Huna Omer Rav, Yechola Isha Shetoma Labala, ain't in his own ass, Vienios. A woman has the right to say to her husband, listen, the tenai of the ksuba is that you get my salary, because it would be causing Ava if the husband had to support the wife, and then the wife kept any money that she earned. So the rabbi said, as a quid pro quo, listen, the husband's supporting you, so he's giving you $50 a day for food and other stuff, whatever, and you're making $20 a day, so give the $20 to the husband, so he's not upset that he's giving you $50 a day, he's only getting $20 back in return. If he didn't get anything back in return, he would be upset, it would lead Ava, and it wouldn't be good for the marriage. Now, this was done to protect the woman. So if the woman says, listen, thank you very much for $50 a day, but I make $500 an hour, I don't wish to get your support, and I don't wish to give you my salary, so then she's entitled to do so. That is her right, and if she wishes to do so, that is her prerogative. The whole Tanai of the Ksuba, there was an opinion that disagreed with this, but the Gemara is telling us, we possibly like Rav Huna Amar Rav, that it's the woman's right to say, I want to be supported by you, or I don't want to be supported by you because I make more money on my own. And then finally, we have the third halacha that they bring down over here, and this has no seeming connection to the previous one. That's what I mentioned before. We had Razvid and Rav Papa who commented on Shmuel, so some suggest that since we had a statement already of Rav Zvid, so we bring another statement of Rav Zvid. That's often the way the Gemara works. When they have a statement from one Amora, they'll often throw in other unrelated statements from that same Amora. Others suggest, the Ritva brings down, that all these dinim were paskin on the same day in the Beis Medrash, and that's why this is brought over here. In any event, we have an unrelated din over here, Hilchos Chavasi the Rav Zvid, Bikunya. And the halacha follows Razid in regards to kunya. What are kunya? So Rashi tells us that kunya are kli cheres she mechapin aleim oferes. These are glazed earthenware utensils that have a lead, right? He calls it plumbalier, which is plumbum, which is lead. So these are lead glazed earthenware containers. And what's the halacha regarding these kunya? So the Amar Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid says, Hani mani de kunya, these utensils that are made out of lead glazed earthenware. Tosfos says a different explanation, says it's some sort of a glass. In any event, it depends on what type of glazing you use over here. If you're using a certain type of glazing that doesn't allow anything to be absorbed, so then there's no problem of absorptions of treif in these, and you could use them if they'd been used by a non-Jewish person, or they'd used them in treifas or something like that, because they won't absorb it. It's like something that is used cold. All you have to do is rinse it out, get rid of any physical treif or iser item there, and nothing gets absorbed. So these mane de kunya, these glazed earthenware utensils, if they're glazed with chivri, a white type of lead, or v'ukme, or a black type of lead, sharu, then you're allowed to use them. There is no concern that anything was bala into them. There was no blios inside of them, and all you have to do is clean them, and that's it. You don't have to kasha them. However, if it was yuroke, it was sort of a green type of a glaze, which will be absorbed. In this situation, Rashi says, "Le'inyan chametz v'pesach." For example, "Begulei ovik chavim v'yain nesach." In regards to, could there be chametz absorbed in this kli, or could there be some vodus kochavim item in the kli, or yain nesach in the kli? So then, if it's a green glaze, then it does get absorbed, and therefore it would be forbidden unless you totally have to kasher it. Now, it's earthenware, so you can't kasher earthenware. So the only way to kasher it would be by breaking it, and that obviously would defeat the purpose. So that's the statement that Rav Zvid made, that if it's the white or the black type of a glaze, it's still not going to absorb, and it's still kosher. But if it's the green type of glaze, it's not. And then he adds, well, Amar, we only said that the white or the black type of a glaze is good, unless bu kartufni. If it doesn't have kartufni, or Rashi says bikue, there are breaks or cracks inside the glaze. But if it has cracks, well, is bu kartufni, so then I see it. Then it will absorb through the kartufni, through these cracks, and therefore the chametz or the blios of the avodas kochavim, the yayin esach, will be inside of there, and there's no way to get it out from an earthenware utensil, and therefore it is osur. This is a good break point, reaching the next Mishnah. So with this, we conclude today's shir.